You wait 3 months for a podcast to come along, and then I release two in the space of a few days. But on a week like this, how could I not? Irish Cup semi-finals don't come along too often, and Irish Cup semi-finals between Glentoran and Enfield certainly don't come along too often. You'd have to go back to 2011 since the last one. And who better to preview such a game than former Glentoran captain and a man who has lifted the trophy on no fewer than four occasions, Glentoran legend Paul Eamon, who of course works as a summariser now for BBC Sport, and he is one of the best around, I'm sure you'll all agree. We look back on Glentoran's season to date, we briefly discuss the managerial change, individual players, what we can expect from the game this weekend, and we also chat about some of Leibre's experiences in the Irish Cup and in Big Two games. Leibre of course has his own episode of Shout at the Oval, which you can go back and listen to, Dahl talking about his career, and he has of course appeared on the live podcast as well. So brilliant to have Leibre on again, and I can guarantee it'll not be the last time that he'll be on. If you haven't already, go back and listen to the other episode with Andy Matheson that was released at the weekend. Really good feedback so far. Great numbers on it. Brilliant to see. Thanks to everyone for listening. Certainly missed getting behind the mic, and they are now coming thick and fast, these podcasts. So thought that I'd get a wee special one out there and get everyone a bit hyped up for this cup final. Hopefully we see the tickets sell out soon. I'm amazed it isn't already sold out, but maybe everyone's waiting until payday. So here you go. It's this week's episode of the Shout at the Oval podcast with Paul Eamon. It's Irish Cup semi-final week, it's Glentoran against Linfield, and there are very few fixtures bigger on the football calendar than this one. And who better to preview the game of me than a man who has played in and captained Glentoran in many Big Two and Irish Cup fixtures. It is, of course, Paul Eamon. Paul, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Matthew. Pleasure.
Paul, before I get on to this week and the significance of Burrs in the season of Glentoran, it'd be amiss of me not to talk about the Glens, our season in general, and your opinion on everything that's sort of been going on. So it's another managerial change for Glens recently, with Declan Devine taking the reins until the end of the season. From the minute Warren Feeney was announced as manager, he's probably on the back foot a bit, but what do you make of the managerial change of late?
Yeah, the club have obviously decided that, you know, that it's time to make that change just before the end of the season, and see if they can get a bounce effect as such off the new manager with the Irish Cup and European football in mind. You know, obviously Warren was up against it from the very start, and you know, I feel a bit for him. He's on a bit of a hiding to nothing, and you know, results haven't went his way. The Glens have been too far behind in the league. And, you know, I think obviously the defeat to Loughgall a couple of weeks ago, a 3-0 defeat to Loughgall, was probably the last straw for, you know, for many fans. They have vented their frustrations and the club have decided to act on it. So, you know, I feel a bit for Warren, but the club have made the decision now to move on with a new man in Declan Devine. And they'll be hoping that, you know, he can rally the troops as such between now and the end of the season, because, you know, there's still plenty to play for.
It was probably the start of the season that finished it for the Glens. They're 21 points dropped in their first 16 games, so it's nearly as many points dropped as picked up, because they only actually picked up 27 points. And to be out of the title race before the Christmas decorations are even out of the box, it's a wee bit unforgivable, isn't it?
It is, and I think when you look at the squad that Glentoran have, and you know, people have different arguments about the squad, but I look at the Glentoran squad and there's a lot of quality, there's a lot of money has been spent. And the squad is underachieved. You know, to be 20 points behind the league so early on, before Christmas, as you say, to be out of the title race, it is unforgivable for Glentoran. And, you know, even going back to pre-season, as such, after pre-season, the European games, you know, I think if Warren had to get off to a good start with a victory in Europe and getting through a round in Europe, it might have got more people on his side. But that didn't happen against what I thought was an average team, the team from Gibraltar. And then to fall behind in the league so far, and to go out of the League Cup, even though they got to the final of the County Antrim. But, you know, overall, it just hasn't been good enough. And, you know, and the players have to take a lot of responsibility for that too, you know, for the performances, some of the performances. But as I say, the club have decided to move on now, and there's a new man at the helm, someone with a lot of experience as well, and have managed in the League of Ireland, some big clubs. And Glentoran, we'll be hoping he can get the right response from the players.
In defence of Warren Feeney, I can't actually remember there being as many injuries in a Glentoran team as what he's faced this season. There's been an absolutely scandalous amount. He's basically lost the spine of his team at one stage or another. That's very difficult because you've played in teams. If you can't get the same defender, if you're playing with new defenders every single week, is that difficult? Is there a lack of cohesion there?
There really is, and I do feel for Warren as well, you know, from that sense. But that's why you have a big squad, and you know, you've probably talked to other teams that have had injury crisis this year. You look at someone like Crusaders who've had their injury problems. Linfield have had their injury problems. It happens throughout the season. You know, it's very few and far between where you'll get a season where you have all your top players fit and ready and available. There's so many games now, and you know, but Glentoran, it has been difficult for them to get the same team out in the pitch regularly, to get those experienced players, to get the players that you need to be in there, and you know, that hasn't helped them, let's just say. But I do believe that, you know, in terms of a squad, they do have the squad and the depth that should be competing more so than they have been.
The defeat to Loughgall was probably the final nail in the coffin, and that started this spate of supporters clubs releasing statements asking for the ownership to have a look at the management situation. It's probably the 21st century alternative to the car park protest, the famous Glentoran car park protest. It's difficult to see any manager sort of lasting beyond that, isn't it, when you've got so many supporters clubs saying the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when the supporters, you mentioned the car park protests there, and I don't think anyone's ever survived the car park protests, even some of the great managers. So when that happens, it's normally the writing on the wall. And I do feel for managers, you know, because it's such a difficult job. You mentioned the injuries are there, you know, there can be a million things going on behind the scenes, and, you know, you do feel for the managers. But ultimately, when that happens, the club have to act, and they've done it again here. You know, supporters have vented their frustrations. The club have decided to act upon it. And as I said before, they'll be now hoping that, you know, they get the right response, you know, from the new manager, from the players, and get a bit of positivity back in the club. There's what I can see at the Oval, there's a lot of negativity there, and, you know, it's a little bit toxic at times, let's just say, and that's all transpired over the last few seasons, and there needs to be more positivity around Glentoran. It's a great football club. It should be a successful football club. It's got a great fan base, and I just hope that positivity, you know, comes back to the club.
So the man in charge now, be it until the end of the season or beyond, is Declan Devine. He's a man that, you know, a player that you've played with when you were just breaking into the Glentoran team. Were you surprised at that appointment when it was announced, and the fact that it is temporary?
Yeah, I think so. I think because everybody just assumed it would be maybe Paddy McLaughlin as the favourite. He was the one that was being mentioned as the favourite. He's out of work. You know, he's a qualified UEFA Pro Licence coach. He's done a great job at Cliftonville. So I think everyone assumed it would be Paddy, and then obviously Declan Devine was announced. So that probably came of a little bit of surprise for many. But Declan, you know, speaking about Declan, yes, I know him. I probably played for about a season with him when I was breaking through. Really good goalkeeper. He's managed Derry City on a couple of occasions. He's managed Bohemians, so that, you know, top level football in the League of Ireland. He's came through the club A&I and the IFA process as a coach, so he's got a lot of experience in coaching. I know him as a big positive figure, great football guy, and, you know, I think he'll get a good response out of that Glentoran squad.
Declan Devine is remaining quite coy in the media about taking the job on permanently. Do you buy into that? Do you think that he might just want to move on at the end of the season, or do you think he's using this very much as an audition to take the job on permanently?
I think it, obviously results will be the key factor. You know, if Declan Devine comes in and wins every game between now and the end of the season and wins the Irish Cup and gets into Europe, it'll be hard not to give him the job. So yes, you know, why not? He's coming in there. He's got the experience. He's got the qualifications. From what I'm hearing from, you know, speaking to a couple of players over the last week or so, they've really enjoyed the training and the buzz about the place, which is good to hear. So, you know, yes, it might be an audition for him. Or, you know, is it a case where there's been conversations had already that he's only taking the job at the end of the season and maybe the Glens have someone else lined up? No one knows. But I say, if he comes in and does really well, gets into Europe, wins the cup, it'll be hard to see him not getting a job.
At the end of the season, there's around 15 players out of contract. at the Oval, and there appears to be no signs of anyone signing any deals. Do you think that that's a bit of a concern, or would you look at it as maybe these players have been there for a good while now, haven't delivered, it's a chance for a clean slate for the next man?
A lot of those players are top quality players as well, Matthew, and you know, maybe if a new manager comes in, you might see some of these players come into better form, and maybe if it is to be Declan Devine and they're enjoying their football under him and they're playing well, can he talk them around into staying? There's obviously players there that maybe have had their time at Glentoran, but there'll be those players there that maybe just need that little boost and maybe a change of heart and for whatever reason and get back on side, because, you know, after Glentoran, and I say this to many people, there's not many other big clubs you can go to in this league. It's still a top club. And for me, those players are out of contract, yes, but, you know, they'll be wanting to know long-term what's happening with the manager, with the club. And, you know, when that's all put to bed, they'll probably make those decisions. But I would say there's still a lot of those players have got a lot big part to play at Glentoran. There'll be some that have ran their course. And again, it'll be up to whoever gets the job to decide that.
You spent most of your career playing under Roy Coyle, but you did experience managerial change in the form of Paul Miller, Alan McDonald and Scott Young. Obviously, some of them were internal appointments, but this new manager bounce that people talk about, is it a real thing? We've seen it with Steve McDonald at Glenavon. He got a proper bounce out of them, and it's probably saved them because they haven't been great over the last sort of 2 months now since they got that bounce. Do you believe that it is a real thing and Glentoran can get that bounce, or is it talked about more than what the reality is?
No, I think obviously when a new manager comes in, it's fresh ideas, new methods and training. You know, all managers are different. You've got, you know, you mentioned Roy Coyle there. Roy Coyle was someone we've talked about in your podcast. He ruled with an iron fist. He was a strict guy. His training was tough. And then you fast forward to someone like Alan McDonald, God rest him. Alan was, you know, very much put the arm around you, give you loads of confidence, spoke to you more. Different styles of management. And I don't know what Declan Devine's style is, but surely if he comes in, I think what he'll be looking to do, if it was me, I'm just saying if it was me going in as manager now, I'd be giving everybody a big hug and saying, let's get some positivity back in this club. And that's where, you maybe get that bounce. You get the players on your side, buying into what you want to do, and that's where you get that bounce effect. You know, they want to play for you, that you've got to get those players playing for you, and I think Declan will know that, and that's where you mentioned that bounce effect, that's where it comes from. You get the players on side and right away you get them run through brick walls for you, and if you've got players working hard for you, you've got a wee chance in games, because, you know, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of quality at Glentoran in that squad.
Darragh O'Connor mentioned in the Belfast Telegraph this week that Decky went in at half time and basically told him, you're boring the life out of me here. You know, you're not entertaining the fans who have paid in, and that got a reaction from the squad. That's probably the sort of thing that they need to hear.
Listen, there's a lot of pressure at Glentoran. You know, these players are coming from lesser clubs, a lot of them, let's just say. There's pressure at Glentoran to deliver week in, week out. I know that more than most. So they'll be feeling that pressure. But if you've got a manager, and you mentioned there about Declan coming in and saying, lads, just go and play. Take the shackles off. Go and play. That'll be very refreshing for a player to hear that. Certainly the attacking players that Glentoran have, the likes of O'Connor, now McGinn, Shane McCartan. You know, Shane McCartan, for me, all the ability in the world. And he'll tell you himself, he's probably underachieved at Glentoran. But, you know, all of a sudden you get a manager coming in, maybe looks to maybe build a team around him and his quality and tells him just to go and play. That can be really good for a player to hear. But, you know, the big thing about the Glentoran players is they've got to get it consistently. They've got to play well consistently. We talk about that bounce effect and getting the reaction from the players. That's good for a few weeks, but it's got to be consistent.
Speaking of Shane McCartan, he's a player that I can just see has all this ability in the world, talent in abundance, just hasn't applied himself enough in his time at Glentoran. But the last two games now, since obviously Decky wasn't in charge of the game at Dungannon, but he's been probably the standout player in those two games. He, earlier in the season against Linfield, he was outstanding at the Oval, really unplayable. And he has had these spells where he can play well. I can't help but feel that between now and the end of this season, he has to perform to the top level, especially in this Cup semi-final coming up, if Glentoran are going to achieve anything this year.
Yeah, I think so. As I mentioned there before, he's a top quality player. You know, that's why Glentoran paid the big money for him and probably big wages that he's on. But I mentioned that it's the consistency. He hasn't played, you know, anywhere near the level of consistency that he should be. We all know he has that talent. The last couple of games, he's been really good, and I agree with you. You know, he's one of those players that, you know, you've got to get him on the ball, and he can create havoc for the opposition. You've got to get him enjoying his football and get him, you know, playing to his strengths. If you're going to build your team around him in terms of the attack of your team, you know, you've got to play to his strengths, get him on the ball, because he's someone who can create and score goals. There's no doubt about that.
And this Friday, obviously, there's still the playoffs to go beyond this, but the reality is that the Glentoran season probably rests on this game, because I feel like even if you win the playoffs, it'll be judged as being a poor season, but the Irish Cup would make all the difference.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, it's all about winning trophies. You know, the fans demand it. There's a big opportunity. They're at home against Linfield. It's going to be difficult. You know, Linfield are a really good, well-organised side. But Glentoran have proved, you know, earlier in the season that they, you know, they have the capabilities to beat Linfield on any given night. You know, they destroyed them at the Oval last time. You mentioned Shea McCartan there. The players just really seem to be up for it on that occasion. And they're going to have to find something similar this week, you know, to beat this stubborn Linfield side, and, you know, a side with lots of talent as well. And, you know, it's going to be a cracking game, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to. But, you know, I agree with you. They've got to get, you know, Glentoran, it's all about, you know, silverware, you know, that, and that's the motivation for the players. Get through this big game against Linfield. That'll give them a real boost in confidence, and, you know, they'll be happy to take on anybody who they get in the final, if they're able to get to the final. And I think you're right, you know, a European playoff, although it'll be good to get through to Europe and whatever means possible, but it would, you know, it would be an underwhelming season if that was to happen. But, you know, the big carrot's still there for the Irish Cup. We all know what it means to Glentoran, and hopefully they can do it.
And they're going to have to do it without David Fisher, who is obviously suspended, and that's a huge loss given how well he'd been playing for the Glens just before suspension.
Yeah, he really impressed me, and, you know, a really good signing by Warren Feeney, someone that he knew from his time in England. And, you know, Fisher looks as if he's enjoying his time at Glentoran. He's a big, strong boy. He works hard, and, you know, he's added the goals to his game, and I've been really impressed by him. And, you know, he is going to be a loss for Glentoran, but hopefully whoever steps up to take his place, and hopefully whatever team Declan puts out, you know, has got enough in the locker to get over the line.
Speaking of players who are going to have an impact, and we mentioned them already, it's Darragh O'Connor. This season he's came in, and fans didn't really know what to make of him at first, but he's got 14 goals and 15 assists this season. His first season at the club, it's his best goal scoring season for any club so far. And him and Niall McGinn seem to link up really, really well together. He's going to have a big part to play.
Yeah, again, you know, of late he's shown good form. I think I watched him in certain spells throughout the season, and he didn't have that in his game. For me, he's got great pace, he's very direct, and, you know, at times his final ball was letting him down, but he seems to have improved that of late. And as you mentioned there, the stats, the amount of assists, and he's added more goals to his game, and he's shown everybody the quality that he has and why Glentoran brought him in.
When the draw was made, the Glens were first out of the hat, and the home advantage was then tossed for. Were you surprised, given that in your days, these ties were always played at Windsor Park?
Yeah, we didn't mind that, because I'm speaking personally. I love going to Windsor, and we always had a big crowd. You know, you looked forward to going to the National Stadium, and it didn't matter to us. You know, it became like a sort of second home for us, which we were very lucky. We were in so many finals and semi-finals that we were sort of used to playing there as well. So I think, obviously, what happened earlier in the season, the big result Glentoran had against Linfield earlier in the season, is probably a reason why, you know, maybe Glentoran thought, we can get this game at the Oval. They haven't done too well at Windsor in the games. So there's that, obviously. But, you know, going to Windsor, you've got the opportunity for it to be a much bigger crowd. The crowd will be, I would imagine, will be less at the Oval. But Glentoran won't mind as long as they can get through to the final. You know, they won't mind whether the game's in the King George. It's getting through to the Irish Cup final that matters.
I think the whole advantage is not so much that it's at the Oval, because the Glens have had some poor results at the Oval too. It's more the fact that it isn't at Windsor, because Linfield's record there down the years has just been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, they're so formidable at Windsor at home, and yes, you've got to take all that into consideration. But you know, in a one-off cup game, you know, going in with that mindset, it's a one-off cup game. Glentoran, as I say, it shouldn't matter where the game is, who they're playing. You know, you've just got to do whatever it takes to get the cup final.
You played in many Big Two games and many really important games too, but the cup games are always that extra bit special for Glentoran. It's probably because of the knockout aspect, and you know what's at stake in terms of making it to the final. In the build-up to those games, what's it like as in comparison to a player and a supporter? Because you've been there both sides of the fence. What are the nerves like in that week up to it?
Yeah, it is, everyone's talking about it. You know, everyone around the area will be talking about the game. There's a real buzz about the game. And I think as a player, you just can't wait for the game to get up to the stadium and get things underway in terms of the game. I can remember one year we played Linfield in a semi-final, and it was an 11 o'clock kickoff, if I can remember, because of there was crowd trouble in a previous...
That was in 1998, yeah.
And we beat them 2-1. Andy Kirk scored both goals, but I can remember it being an early kickoff, and, you know, the club doctor telling us, you know, when you get up, go for a walk or go for a bit of exercise, because your body has to sort of build itself up. And we went up and got a great result and got through to another final. But, you know, as a player, these are the games you want to be involved in. And, you know, I was very lucky to be involved in a few big Irish Cup games against Linfield and be on the right side of them. And certainly that day I just mentioned was a great day. And, you know, the players will be looking forward to it. They'll be doing all their preparation throughout the week, and you know, they'll be looking forward to the big game on Friday night.
What did a Roy Coyle cup week, whether it's semi-final or final, preparation look like? Did he run his extra hard?
No, I think Roy tried to take all that pressure away from him. He was always good at taking that pressure away from the players and try to make it, you know, it's an old cliche, but you know, the next game sort of thing, you know, look after the next game. And it was just like it was a normal game, but it's not a normal game. We all know that. There's so much pressure with this game. There's the bigger crowd. There's so much at stake here. And that's where, you know, the manager's going to have to come into his own this week. You know, he's got to get the best out of his players and take all that pressure away from them and just make sure that they're fully focused on the task at hand.
I know for the finals, I've talked about this. I've talked to many, many players. That it was the whole staying at the Park Avenue, the whole pre-routine going to the cinema. Is there anything like that for a semi-final, or is it just simply meet up, go to the game, try and win it?
No, that's it. That was very much it, you know, for the semi-final. And in many ways, there's even more pressure in the semi-final because you want to get to that big day out. You know, you want to get there. And so there's added pressure there. And when you get to the final, anything can happen on a final day. But no, it's probably a strange one where it's, you know, the Friday night kickoff. I expected the Glens and Blues might have been the Saturday one, so the Friday night will be a little bit strange, but they're both full-time teams. They'll have prepared all week. They'll be well rested before the game, and they'll know everything that they have to do, and, you know, hopefully it's a cracking game.
We obviously mentioned earlier on about Fisher being suspended. In the 2000 Sean Armstrong semi-final, you missed it through a leg injury.
Yep.
I seen an interview actually on YouTube with you. You were 50-50 to make it at the time. How much of a blow was that at the time? Was it, you were quite young, obviously. You suppose you maybe thought there'll be other occasions.
Yeah, I can remember that day, the Sean Armstrong. I was sitting up with the fans that day. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, the way that game ended up. But I think I knew even after the semi-final that I wasn't going to make the final. I was really struggling with the injury. And I think maybe Alistair McComb came in that season.
He played centre half.
Hugh Dixon played.
Yeah, that's right.
Young Hugh Dixon took my place and played really, really well. And, you know, it was tough to lose out, to miss out on the final. I think I played in the previous rounds before the Linfield game. So to miss out in the final, that was the Ingleseen final. It was difficult for me, you know, being there, seeing the big crowd and the occasion. You just wanted to be a part of it. But, you know, lucky enough for me, I was able to get over the injury that summer and, you know, get back in. And, you know, I think we played Linfield then the following year in 2001, which was a, you know, you don't get any bigger than that. And I was lucky to be part of that.
Speaking of that, Sean Armstrong semi-final, I put a video up of it earlier on the Twitter page. absolutely unbelievable. You just could not write the script. People put that up there with Morgan Day.
Yeah, it's just it's the way the game ended. You know, Big Winky equalising the 90th minute, maybe the 92nd minute. And we thought, oh no, here we go again. And I think that day Glentoran deserved to beat Linfield. 2-1 up for a long spell in the game. And then obviously Winky, and Winky celebrating. I can remember his celebration. He run right down behind the goal. And, you know, obviously the Glens probably thought their day was done. But went back up the field. And I think it was Rory Hamill got the ball on the left wing and cut inside and put a great ball in. And then the goalkeeper's committed himself. And Big Sean's got it on the end of it, and he's became a hero forever. I seen him driving a bus up here the other week. So he waved that line. So, you know, he's forever in history for that goal. And, you know, I, as I mentioned, I was sitting in the crowd that day, and as a Glentoran fan, obviously I was disappointed not to be down there and be part of it. But to be in with the fans that day, that was something special that day as well.
Yeah, people say that the reason that Linfield conceded was because Winky was absolutely knackered from a celebration.
It could well have been, you know, the adrenaline, and he ran the length of the pitch, and you know, we've just went up the pitch and got that massive goal, and then I think the referee basically blew the final whistle straight after it. So, you know, that's one of those days where you always remember. And you know, the good thing was that, you know, we went on to win the cup then after that big result in the semi final.
And you touched on it there about the 2001 final, which more than made up for you missing the previous years. You spoke about it on the episode I had you on the podcast, but we'll talk about it again. You were really nervous before that game.
Yeah, I remember we played Linfield on Boxing Day and they beat us 3-0, and Spike Ferguson and Davey Larmer giving us a bit of a run around. And I think the manager made a big call that day where it was myself or Chris Walker probably. And he gave me the nod, and I just felt, you know, under pressure to perform really. And listen, you had pressure and you felt nervous anyway in a big two game. This was a big two cup final, the first one in, you know, 20 years or whatever it was. And so you felt the nerves anyway, but the manager had shown great faith in me that day. And, you know, I didn't want to let anybody down, but I can remember having a headache before the game, just the pressure of everything. And Alan Goff was the goalkeeper, and I remember him sort of pulling me into the side at the old Windsor changing room, saying, "Are you okay?" He says, "Calm yourself down, take two tablets there and calm yourself down, you know, we've a big game here." And I was only young, I was only maybe 21, so it just meant so much to me. And I think that year as well, I just lost my father a few months before that, so there was all these emotions in me that day. And but I can remember going out and having a really good game up against Spike and Davey and Chris Morgan and myself and Big Smicker, doing really well that day, and obviously keeping a clean sheet and Michael Halliday getting the goal. And that's one of those special days we'll always remember.
Growing up, the Glens had a hell of a lot of success in the Irish Cup. They had more Irish Cup success than they did in the league. It's this love affair. You must have some amazing memories, because there were some crazy cup finals involved in sort of the late 80s. I don't know, what age would you have been in the late, would that have been your peak years following the Glens? Or
yeah, I would have, whenever the Glens won the Irish Cup, was it 3-4 years in a row in
4
the
80s? Years, yeah.
So I would have been at all those finals, you know. That was the sort of team that I remember so much, you know, the likes of Big John Devine and Geordie Neal, and then you had Barney Bars and Nuts and Jim Cleary and Jemmy and Gary McCartney, you know, Billy Caskey. These guys are all my heroes. So that's why they're my heroes. You know, you're going to the Irish Cup finals every year and being successful. And that's where that, you know, affiliation with the Irish Cup really came from. But my first Irish Cup I ever went to was probably 1983. We played Linfield, because my cousin Tommy was playing for Glentoran at the time. And then I remember the 85 Cup final. And then Glentoran then was 86, 87. Paul Miller scored in 86, Jerry Mullen 87, 88 was a double, you know. So I remember all those vividly. I remember being in the old railway stand. That's where we sat, and, you know, some special days following the Glens.
And the love affair has continued the whole way through, and I don't know what it is. I can never put my finger on it, even when the Glens were really quite poor, you know, under Eddie Patterson, they were still competing in the Irish Cup year in, year out.
Yeah, I think it's on any given day in a cup game, anything can happen, and you can be lucky with a draw. You know, you can be very lucky with a draw in the cup final. I mean, up until now, Glentoran have played all teams that really they should be beaten. they've now got their biggest test in Linfield. But, you know, I mean, no disrespect to them, but, you know, Ballinamallard made a final there a few years ago. You'd never expect Ballinamallard to make it through to the Irish Cup final. Take nothing away from them, but, you know, they probably played teams who they could compete against up until the final, when then Crusaders obviously beat them. But, you know, I think you can be lucky with the draw, and on any day, if you're up for it and your key players are up for it and you've got that little bit of luck, you can beat anyone in a cup game. And, you know, that you mentioned Glentoran there. Linfield always seemed to win league titles, but Glentoran had this love affair with the Irish Cup. And, you know, you probably speak to those players and they'll say, we'd love to have more Irish league titles, but they would probably never swap some of those special days in the sun at Windsor winning the Irish Cup. So, you know, it's been a great relationship with the competition that Glentoran have had, and hopefully they can get another one under their belt this season.
Could you imagine if, because this is one of the things, I'm now an advocate of summer football, but the thing that always put me off is cup finals in November. Could you imagine the sort of that winter cup final?
No, it just doesn't seem to be the same for me, but you don't want me to start talking about summer football now, do you? You know,
it's just a bit...
it would be strange, you know, we're so used to the Irish Cup final being in May, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's in the sunshine, it's the end of the season, it's a great day out for the fans, so it would be strange to see something different. But, you know, I'm only going to make one comment on summer football, you know, why not just give it a try and see how it goes?
Yeah, I'm probably of the same opinion. On to this Friday's game, which isn't quite summer, but not quite winter either. Looking at the weather today, I don't know what way I can go. It could end up being a Portadown game, 2015.
Oh, yes.
Total washout.
That's right.
But Linfield are missing Chris Shields. Glentoran have had their most success against Linfield whenever they have stopped Chris Shields from playing. He's a massive loss, and it has to give the Glens a wee bit of a boost.
It does. In any of the games, you know, you and I have watched them over the last few seasons, he has been the standout player in those games. He's dominated those games and he scored goals in them. He's a player who takes a game by the scruff of the neck, dictates the pace of the game, and Glentoran just haven't been able to get to grips with him, even though they've tried. He's a big game player and he just seems to do better in those games, so you've got to give him tremendous credit for, because it's not easy to play in those games and to be that good. You know, they're feisty games, they're 100 mile an hour, so give him credit. But for him being out, it does give Glentoran more of an opportunity. But what Linfield have been able to do, you know, Jamie McGree's still playing at the top
level.
He's
having a really good season,
yeah,
as well.
People, you know, writing him off, you know, last season, this season. He's just got that infectious desire and hunger to keep being successful, and he drives that. He still drives that team on. So although they've lost Chris Shields, Jamie McGree is still a key player for them. And what they've been clever with is they put in, you know, Jamie won't thank me for saying this, but he's 36 or 37, whatever his age is. He doesn't have the legs that he used to, but he's still so influential. They've put players around him who have the legs, the likes of Joshua Archer, who's been really good. Kyle McLean has been really good, excellent for him. I read somewhere that Jamie McGree's says he's his player of the year. So they've got good players around, you know, the Jamie McGrews, the Chris Shields, and they've just been able to find a sort of system that works for them. And even though Chris Shields is out, it's going to be a tough game for Glentoran, and they've got to be at their best to beat Linfield.
Just talking about McGrew there, I listened to Tim McCann once on a podcast say that he explained the story about McGrew going to Linfield and how he was absolutely baffled that the Glens just let him walk away. Do you remember much of Jamie when he was at the club?
Yeah, I remember him being about the reserve team with probably George Bowden at the time, maybe, and Jamie and people like that. And listen, everybody knew Jamie McGrew was a good footballer and a great kid as well. I just always remember him being a great kid and very personable and, you know, always ask questions, you know, really, really good lad, good football lad. But I think, to be fair to Glentoran, Jamie wanted to play football, but to be fair to Glentoran, I think at that time you had people like Lockie and, you know, senior players that were ahead of him in the team. I'm not 100% sure who else, but I can remember Lockie was still there, and it was probably difficult for the manager to play those younger players at that time. And then Jamie's made the decision to go to Linfield, and listen, the rest is history. It's unbelievable what he has achieved and what he continues to achieve. And, you know, Glentoran's loss was Linfield's gain. And you know, who knows what would have happened if he had stayed, because he's been a phenomenal player in the Irish League.
if the Glens do beat Livfield on Friday, there's obviously the really difficult task of Larne or Cliftonville. But I mean, it's there's no givens in the Irish League at all. It doesn't matter who they'll be playing in the final. Look at Ballymena a few years ago. Ballymena probably deserved to win that final. But if they do get over that hump, do you think that they'd fancy themselves as favourites just because obviously Larne are a brilliant team, but just Irish Cup, that relationship with the Irish Cup?
Yeah, possibly. I don't think, I'm not sure if Larne ever won the Irish Cup.
No, Larne actually ever? I don't know.
I don't think that.
Maybe not.
Might be wrong, but you know, so yes, there's that sort of history element of it, but you know, if they can get through this one, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it'll give the Glentoran a massive boost. It'll give the whole club a massive boost, and you've then got to go into the final in a one-off game and you take on whoever it is, whether it's Cliftonville or Larne, and you've got to be confident that you can beat them. Now, Larne have had Glentoran's number, let's say, over the last...
2 years, probably.
Yeah, and that's it didn't matter who was in charge or who the squad of players. They just seem to have had Glentoran's number. So, you know, the last couple of seasons hasn't been great in terms of games against Larne, but in any given day, in a cup game with a big, massive crowd behind them, that's got to inspire the players, and you know, you'd still fancy yourselves to go on and try and get something and try and get the piece of silverware. But it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, as I said earlier, one game at a time. Linfield's going to be so, so tough. Get through that one and then you worry about what happens after that.
And if the cup is won, then it's really, really hard to look past Declan Devine, isn't it? It'd be one of those what-ifs if he did this leave.
Yeah, and it all depends if he wants the job long-term. And, you know, you mentioned all the players in the contract, you know, what budget's going to be available. There's all these different elements that will come with what decisions made. So I think, you know, short term, Declan's just got to go in there, as we mentioned earlier, get the best he can get out of the players, get as many good results. If he can pick up the Irish Cup, then it puts him in a very strong position with the club if he wants the job. And then, you know, it's down to the club then what decision they make. But in the short term, it's all about, you know, finishing the season on a high.
If Declan does get the job, or if anyone gets the job for that matter, if you look at the Glens setup at the minute, they're a coach short. So say they come calling for yourself. Is this something that I know, it's obviously the full time aspect.
Are they a coach short?
They're a coach short because the fella Mark Ferguson's left. He's shown up in the NI football app as registered with Grimsport, so he must be playing.
All right, I wasn't aware that he left.
Yeah, so he's left. So they are a coach short. They don't have, though. They've got, there's John Gregg and then Elliot. Is it something you want to dip your toe into?
Listen, I think I said this in your podcast. I'm still coaching at the minute. You know, I've kept my hand in it coaching, and I've always said that if I get involved in football again, it has to be the right opportunity at the right time. You know, I always think when managers come in, that they want to bring their own people with them, people they know, people they trust. And so I would imagine if Declan Devine gets a job, he will have a backroom team in mind. Whoever else gets a job will have backroom team that they know and they trust. That always seems to be the way of it in football. So listen, the full-time aspect probably doesn't suit me with you know, the club's training every day. So no, if you're asking me, I'm coming back as a coach. No, I'm not. It's like a politician there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a sort of question for the politicians. Although Willie Garrett's back, he's coaching there. So it's, I mean, Andy Matheson spoke on record on the podcast about how he would love ex-players to get involved. I know obviously Nicky was involved there briefly. Well, he was there for 18 months, not that briefly. He would love more ex-players to get involved, and I would agree. So it'd be great to even see more players. I'm sure you agree, not even necessarily yourself or anything.
Yeah, listen, it's got to be the right people. It's got to be the right person. You know, forget about just because you played for Glentoran. You've got to be the right person for the job. And, you know, Declan Devine has been involved in football long enough to know what sort of coaches he needs and what assistant he needs and what type of person he needs around his dressing room. So, you know, it's not for me to tell him who he needs to bring in.
So finally, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I used to listen to that Belfast Live podcast, so I know what you were like picking that bet, but I'm going to ask you for...
That was for charity as well.
Let's go for the score prediction. What do you fancy this Friday?
Listen, my heart obviously says Glentoran to win. My head, you know, I think in current form, Linfield are favourites. You know, they're well ahead of us in the league. But I do think if the real Glentoran turns up with the likes of Shea McCartan on form, now again, the attacking players, and they've got things steady at the back, they've got a chance. I'll go out of my way and I'll say 2-1 to Glentoran.
Super duper. Look, I really appreciate you coming on once again. I'm sure it'll not be the last time that we'll speak on the podcast, and hopefully we'll see each other along the way at a cup final.
Cheers, Matthew. Hope so.
Really enjoyed that one. Thought that I would try something a wee bit different on what is a really important week for the Glens, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Thanks very much to Leaper for coming on. He's always a brilliant guest. He's really good at this type of thing. He could have a podcast of his own, no doubt about it. Not too sure he wants to, but he's just that good at it. Hopefully we can get the win on Friday and salvage something from what has been a bit of a disaster of a season for Glentoran. And as I said on the podcast, I think that even if we win the playoffs, it probably won't be enough to consider this season a success. And the only way we're going to do that is if we manage to win the Irish Cup. So hopefully players are fired up and ready. I know that Declan Devine will be working hard with them this week to try and get them ready for such a big game. Thanks very much to everyone for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this type of thing. I'm thinking of doing something a bit more like this next season moving forward, and I thought that this was the ideal time to try it. So do let me know your thoughts and feedback. I will also be doing the sort of guests, looking over their careers if and when I can get them, but thinking of getting on a few repeat guests and going over sort of Glentoran and the here and now at the time of recording. So thanks again for tuning in, and another episode out soon.